This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
For this episode of the What's Good Games podcast, live from GDC 2024 with Alexa Ray Correa.
Woo! I'm here.
It's so good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, too.
And what an exciting year for GDC. I think this is the first time that you and I have done something together at GDC when you're a developer.
Dev. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I went to the dark side.
I've
been waiting for this day. This is fun. I'm excited.
I'm so glad that you had time in your schedule for me. So thank you so much. To everybody listening and watching, normally this would be your source for video game news commentary, analysis, and funny stuff. And our regularly scheduled episodes will come back next week. But since Alexa was here, I was let's record on the floor and talk about what's happening here at the Game Developers Conference.
The floor.
It's behind
us. Beautiful floor behind
us. You can see it. If you're watching at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, of course. So, welcome to GDC. You had a talk this year.
I did. I had a talk in the Narrative Summit. And last year, I did a talk with the fabulous Liz Moberly. She's a fellow writer, narrative designer. She's worked on Hogwarts Legacy. She worked at Obsidian. And most recently Lightspeed. And we did a talk last year about how to give good feedback in writers' rooms, because feedback is a skill and not many people do it well, frankly. But when we were doing organizing the data from that talk, we realized that there was another talk, which was feedback between writing teams and design teams. So our talk this year was how to give and receive and have constructive, healthy feedback between design departments on games. And it was really dense, and it will be on the vault if you have vault access, but we got a lot of good feedback from people who went and said it was helpful, and it was really nice. So I'm happy to have done it the second year in a row. It's an honor to talk here. And I already have three ideas for talks next year. So hopefully I'll just do it again.
That's wonderful. The talks at GDC are a huge part of the programming for the show. And it's a big reason why devs from all over the world come to the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco every year. And there's talks on all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And what an interesting part of the development process to do a talk on. Now I'm what are your ideas for next year? But I don't want you to spoil anything, of course.
Oh, no. I pitched a talk this year GDC got a lot of submissions this year. We have returned to pre-pandemic levels of developers submitting talks, which has been awesome. But last year they were only accepting one talk per person. But I have this amazing idea for a talk about baby girlification.
Oh, okay.
So character creation using modernized tropes and kind of plumbing fandom for modernized versions of old archetypes as you're making your games. Basically just making new fun characters that will get the star appeal and virality of characters like Asterion from Baldur's Gate 3, like Cid from Final Fantasy 16. How do you create these characters that stick with players long after they finish playing the game, that makes them want to go sit on Tumblr for hours looking at content and keep engaging with your game?
How do you make a husbando?
How do you make a husbando? Actually, I should probably just call it that. How to make a husbando.
You're welcome.
That would be so on brand for me. I think that's what I'm going to call it. How to make a husbando. Husbando factory.
Oh, perfect. See, okay, you can't write this stuff. Wait, we just did. Zing.
Yay.
Well, that's really awesome. I'm glad that your talk went well.
Thank you.
The show floor behind us has all kinds of booths where developers can go learn about tools or meet teams that make software or hardware. Has there been anything that you've been wanting to check out in regards to new tech or new innovation that's here at the show?
There are quite a few narrative systems tools out on the floor this year. And when I say narrative systems tool, to get in the weeds a little bit, it's having a tool that will automatically set up all the like little fields that you can put your dialogue in a way that makes a conversation that's like branching. So like Baldur's Gate style dialogue or something that's procedurally generated. Right now, as it stands, like a lot of us just hook that shit up solo in Blueprints. If you've ever played with Twine or Artisy or any of our ArcWeaver or any of those
She's
tools.
Speaking dev, everybody.
Sorry. But if you've ever played with any of those tools, it lets you set up like a little node and then you put your dialogue in it and then you can rearrange them and connect them and stuff like that. But a lot more companies are building out tools that will, you can say, you know, I want a branching dialogue with three different options that spawn three different options. And you can actually just put those numbers in and then it will spawn all of those little parts for you. And then have a convenient way for your writer to just upload all of that dialogue into the tool without having to individually copy paste it into all the nodes, which I think is really cool. So there's a couple of tools here that I'm going to check out later this week that are like that. But if you're here for GDC and you're into that stuff, like go find them. It's so cool. And the devs who make them are so talented. Like I'm bad with numbers, so I could never be an engineer, but it's nice. It's really nice to see.
Well, I don't think you're probably as bad as you think.
Oh,
but
no,
it's okay to just say, hey, that part of the science of games is just not for me.
It's not. I'm a writer for a reason. I'm only good at making shit up. That's the only thing I'm good at. But no, like, I like failed math in college. Like I'm bad.
So you're legitimately bad at numbers.
I am certified bad at math. So that's why I'm a writer.
Speaking of tools and writers,
yes.
A very well-known writer announced a very cool project stage of one of the game development community's most popular tools. Segway! Epic Games' State of Unreal happened here this week.
So excited.
And Amy Hennig.
Yes, I love Amy. I love you, Amy.
Infamous Amy Hennig, who is wonderful and has been working at Skydance New Media on a not-so-secret project. I mean, they technically announced what she's working on. Actually, fully announced what her team has been working on and gave us the most beautiful trailer I think I may ever seen.
I saw it.
Running in real time on Unreal Engine 5, 1943, The Rise of Hydra.
I can't wait. It's so funny to me. One, that game looks great, and I'm so excited that Amy can finally show it. But Amy has been very influential on my career, and I have had the opportunity to, like she's like a good friend of mine, speak one-on-one. She's given me a lot of really excellent advice over the years, which is I've taken to my dev life. And it's so funny because she's making a Black Panther game and I'm making a Black Panther game.
Yeah, you are.
And like, they're very different products. And like, I can't talk about mine at all. Marvel's upcoming Black Panther project is the legal way they told me to say it. So please look forward to it. But it's so funny because I've just been like waiting to see more about hers because it's like, Amy, we're doing like kind of things that are maybe similar and I'm excited working in the same property, which is so cool. And finally being able to see it was just, it's beautiful. Beautiful. I love that what the Black Panther's, he's a little bit of an older gentleman. He's not like a young, hot, like 20-year-old Black Panther. I am all about the like older dude protagonists in games. That suit looks great on him. Like,
oh yeah. Fuck.
I love, and this is such a dev thing to say, but I love UE5. I love working in UE5 and it's come so far, and seeing that trailer, we're just like, I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is awesome. I am very excited for that game. I'm excited for her. I'm glad she can finally talk about it.
And I really hope that Skydance doesn't weirdly cancel it.
No, if you work at Skydance and you're watching this, do it for me. Like, do it for me. Please don't cancel that game. If you don't, do it for me, please.
Do it for Alexa.
I
want to
play it. No, it's so beautiful. And I think the fan response, like I went and looked at the discourse, and the response from fans, but also from other developers, has been very much like, whoa, this is awesome. And like, one of the cool things about being a game developer is we love looking at each other's shit and then learning. Like, again, I'm at GDC, I'm attending all these talks. Like, we love sharing like how we got somewhere and like methodologies that have worked for us and things that have worked for us. We love seeing what our peers do. And it's very much like a when our peers succeed, we all succeed, rising tide and all that. So it was really excited to see that and then see the fan response and just be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm excited. It was really exciting being in the audience. I was at the theater where the State of Unreal was happening, and Amy, after the trailer rolled, did a live demonstration in Unreal Engine with someone from her team, showcasing some of the graphics tools that they used to build that game. And I absolutely loved that they took the time to say, let's actually show you how the tools work and show you some of the cool things that this technology is doing and how far a lot of the animation and lighting tech has really come.
Oh, yeah. No. Animation and lighting. I know some very amazing animators and lighting artists, and like the stuff that they have to work with and the stuff they can do now is just like, oh, my God. It's awesome. You can make anything. Making shit up. It's so good.
Well, and what's also great about what Epic announced today here at GDC is that in addition to like the professional level tools that they have and that a lot of your peers use at your studio, is the more prosumer, even hobbyist tools through UEFN, which is the Unreal Editor for Fortnite. Them adding in movable cloth, which seems like a weird thing, but is actually so cool.
Yeah. I, if you're listening to this podcast and you're an aspiring game developer or anything, find this tool and go play in it, because everyone's using Unreal right now. Unreal is the engine, and if you know the tool going into, if you've never made a game before and you're starting from scratch, if you've fooled around and made a couple things in Unreal, it's going to give you a leg up on everyone else's application. So like, learn that tool. Pay attention. Learn that tool.
And
that's
free. And they're so accessible, too. They announced that they've paid over $320 million to creators in UEFN, which is great. So if you make something that people buy and want to play, you can actually get paid for it, which is awesome.
That's really cool.
Not all of the platforms are doing such generous content creator payouts, so I love to see Epic coming forward and saying, like, we care about the development community.
Yep.
And then they announced some pretty big news that if developers ship their game, they're calling it Epic First Run, on Epic Games Store, 6 months exclusive, they get to keep 100% of the revenue for the first 6 months.
Wow. So is it, so it's, hold on, it's exclusive for 6 months.
In the Epic Games Store. Yeah, they're calling it Epic First Run.
And they get to keep all revenue.
100% of the revenue.
That's a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty good deal. I think it's so nice to see a major platform holder like Epic saying we want to support the development community. Because, Alex, I don't know if you've heard, it's been kind of a rough year.
Oh, I'm in it. I am in that trench watching my peers fall around me, and it is up. Fucking setting. And the thing is, a lot of those people aren't gonna find new jobs right away. I have a lot of friends that have gotten laid off in the last couple months. A lot of them are here. I've been talking with them, and the problem is, like, not everyone, I'll talk about my job function specifically, so not everyone needs writers and not everyone is hiring them. It's a very niche skill, and there's more people that want to do it than like roles we have open.
Yeah.
So, and narrative designers too. So all of these people are getting cast out into the void, and something like this, that they could potentially make something themselves, an indie, make something easier, is a good way for them to find some sort of revenue, but also keep practicing their craft while they're maybe looking for that next big thing. So initiatives like that help the developers that, you know, are just having a tough time right now refinding that space for themselves. So I like that. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's cool. It was a little weird not seeing Tim Sweeney here, because he has given the keynote, you know, for the last 15 years, but he tweeted that he is in Australia watching the antitrust Google and Apple case.
Oh.
We've talked about that case many times, and I'll update you guys in next week's episode if anything comes from that. But if you want to follow it, Tim Sweeney on Twitter has been posting, or the app formerly known as Twitter, I guess I'm supposed to say, has been posting a lot of the updates that he's seen when he's inside the trial room. So check that out if you're interested. But there's also all kinds of other things happening here at GDC. There was, I think right now, as we're going to wrap, there's an amazing concert happening that Austin Wintering is directing.
There's the concert.
Conducting.
Composing. Conducting.
That's the
composing.
Word.
Yes, there's the concert that's happening today. Also, I think today there's something called GD Scream, where everyone is just getting together in Yerba Buena to scream.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, it's a thing. There have been a lot of like small developer pop-up things, like meet up here. But the GD Scream one was interesting. I wonder if we'll hear it.
That's so funny.
And there's just been, it's been really nice to, again, like, be among the dev community in this the worst timeline, and talk to one another and support one another and connect people who are looking for jobs with people who are looking for people, which has been really nice. So I have no voice, as you can probably tell. It's because I've been doing a lot of talking, a lot of that. But it's good. It's good to be here. It's good to be together. I like GDC a lot.
I like GDC a lot, too. I have gotten to play a few games while I'm here.
Where'd
at GDC. I got to play Tales of Kanzara, Zao.
My man's
from
so
Surgeon
good.
Studios.
Abu Bakar, you're amazing.
He is fantastic, and we're hoping to do a longer form interview with him specifically on
yes.
his game. So you guys may recognize him as the man who was on stage at the Game Awards talking about this passion project of his that's dedicated to his late father.
With the best drip, too. That outfit. Amazing.
He always has good fashion.
Always.
And thank you to Nintendo for inviting us to their Switch Partner Preview, where I got to chat with him and play his game, which, of course, is coming to Switch. And I loved what I played, and I'll have deep dive thoughts on that at a preview soon, but it just is like such a pretty game that has so many levels of thought and detail
yep.
into it.
Yep.
And I got to chat with him quickly about his passion for game making and how he got into it,
yep.
and he had a lot of cool things to say. So if you guys are interested, why don't you just take a listen right now?
Do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So, I'm Abubakar Salim. I am the creative director of Tales of Kanzara, Zao, at Surgent Studios.
I would love to hear how you came up with the name.
Kenya.
Okay.
Just a cool version of Kenya. So, my family's from Kenya. So, I was like, yo, Kanzara, let's do it. So, yeah. And Tales, really, it's, you know, for me, it's like I wanted to build a universe that pulls from, kind of works a bit like an anthology, you know? So the idea is that this is Zao's story. You'll have other stories as well as you go along. So that's essentially where it comes from. It stems from this idea of telling stories within Kanzara, which is this universe and this world that I've kind of created, which pull from a lot of the kind of African myths and mythologies, but really all stem from a place of human truth. But like for me, it's all about essentially, you know, telling stories that stem from a sense of like what makes us human. You know, because I think as much as this is based on African mythology, in my head, it's like really, truly, it's about the journey of grief and what that means and what that kind of tells us. So it can be Norse or Greek or whatever. Of course, it's African because it's my perspective and the stories that my dad used to tell me. But at its core, it's all about grief. And that's really, truly where the storytelling kind of elements come from. Nice.
Is there an affinity you had in particular for a side-scrolling Metroidvania?
Yeah, so the side-scroller element comes from a lot of the fact that I played side-scrollers with my dad when I was growing up. Sonic, Mario, those kind of games. So it was kind of paying homage to him on that. The Metroidvania aspect is mainly because of the fact that it is about grief and kind of throwing you in a world that you have no idea about. So really, truly, it's almost like a mix of like a callback to him, but also a time of where I am now as a boo. Do you know what I mean? So that's sort of where I kind of pulled from as a whole. So really what's funny is like I'm learning all this other stuff and elements of what it means to like make games, like stick dead zones or like, you know, locomotion. I never used to know any of this stuff when I played games, like even FPS. Like I didn't know that there was this massive discussion about what FPS is and stuff. So like it's very surreal now being in this place where I'm using this language to kind of explain or express like, you know, what we're doing as a whole.
So you're picking up all of the developer lingo
yeah,
you taught me.
Absolutely. And it's It's very weird. It's very weird.
Does it make you want to learn how to code?
It actually does a bit. There's a part of me that does that is interested in the idea of what it means to code, because it is a language that fascinates me. Like the fact that this has been built from code in a way, you know? Like, that's really cool. And so, yeah, there's definitely that interest of it, for sure. I remember, like, during the early days of development, I bought, like, this pack when Unreal were doing, I think it was Udemy, were doing, like, this, you know, kind of discount on, like, on coding. I bought this huge pack on trying to think, like, yeah, I've got time to learn how to do this. I obviously don't, but...
You have a few other things going on.
Yeah, you know. I keep saying, like, if I knew what I know now about what it means to get into games, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. It's hard, right?
It's hard. It's really hard. But at the same time, I think moments like the Game Awards and moments like... There was even a moment after, actually, the announcement, and I was walking from the venue to the hotel where people were literally just stopping and being like, dude, that really meant a lot, because I lost my parent, or I lost my friend during COVID, or I lost them, you know, during the time. And what you said really speaks to me. And those are the rewarding moments. Those are the moments where you're like, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, so people don't feel alone in their journey of what's going on. Because I know for a fact, I remember feeling so isolated and alone, having lost my father and going through that process. So it's very surreal to be in this position now. It's just a very crazy process, man. Like, I don't even know how to put it into words. Like, it's exciting and terrifying, and, you know, I feel naked half the time, but then I feel really kind of
a little,
you know,
bit of
powered.
Imposter syndrome, maybe.
Yeah, I just feel like, because again, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm just this actor, right? He's just kind of decided that he wanted to make a game and tell a story. But it's very surreal. I wanted to tell a story that felt authentic and felt real. And I feel like in my head, it's about being in control of my voice. And I think, like, I can only do that if I am running the studio. You know what I mean? And I think, because again, like, in film and TV, everyone does it. You write a script, you give the script to a studio, the studio changes it, and it's a different script, right? But you've made your money and you move on.
Right.
Whereas for me, it's like, actually, no, this is really personal. This is really, like, something that I really want to, you know, paint and make sure that it feels authentic and true. And the only way I can do that is if I'm in control. So I'll take the risk. Absolutely. I take the risk of running a studio, but at the same time, at least I know that my story is authentic and real. And even what's been great about working with EA and the Originals team is that they allow me to be authentic and real, you know? So that's kind of where we're at the moment, you know? I'm like, oh shit, people are gonna be playing it and giving me opinions.
If you could say, like, one thing to people who are looking at this game going, oh, that game looks cool, but I don't really know about it, what would you give them to be like, you should try my game because?
Because it's a game that comes from a very personal place, and it's not even just from one developer. It's not just from me and my experience of my father and my passing of the journey, but it's from everyone. I think everyone has put a piece of themselves in this. It feels indie. There is nothing that's been kind of tarnished of it that feels like it's been forced or being put there because it, you know, because it looks cool, or, you know, we're trying to hit a zeitgeist. It's coming from a real sense of not only, like, trying to make a fun experience, but also trying to tell a story that connects with people on a human level. You know, you look at games like Journey, for example, or even like Ori, or even Hellblade. These games, I feel, are connect to you and remind you of what it means to be human. And that's the kind of game that we want to make with this. Yeah, okay, it's cool and fantastical and everything, but ultimately it's about really what makes you human. That's why you should try it.
You have known him for a little while.
Yes. We met at DICE last year. Being under the EA banner, because he's an EA original.
Yeah.
So we kind of, like, met in that space. But he's just, I don't know, like, his journey has been incredible to watch. He was in Raised by Wolves. He was Bayek in Assassin's Creed Origins. He's in the next season of Game of Thrones, which is coming out this summer.
House of the Dragon.
Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. Whatever. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yes, you do.
What year is it? House of the Dragon. And he, you know, was a guy that's just like, I love video games and I have this feeling. I really want to work through that feeling and make a game so I can share with everyone what that felt like. We know a lot of people that have done that. Our friend Ferris.
Yeah.
So Ferris, it's
shout
the same thing.
Shout out to our super producer, Ferris.
Ferris is amazing. Ferris is also here this week. I got to see him yesterday. He, you know, had a feeling, and it was, I'm not going to spoil it, but he had a feeling and was like, you know, I want to share this feeling. I think I want to make a game. And he went out and like paved the way and is now making a game as well. And I love that when people come to dev from that place where it's like, I have a feeling and I have a story and like, I'm going to therapize myself a little bit, but also it's just something I want other people to understand and feel. And you have these really beautiful experiences coming out from that type of development. So
yeah, Abubakar was telling me about how he decided to get into the game development because he wanted to tell the story and he wanted to make sure it was told right.
Yep.
And in his mind, he was like, I need to do it because I don't think me pitching the idea to somebody else and then handing over the storytelling to them
Absolutely.
Is going to tell the story the way that I want to tell it specifically. Uh-huh. And all of the influences from Kenya and all the little touches that are clearly his background and what makes it so special and personalized to him, I think is really fantastic. And what I also thought was interesting about the conversation we had was he was surprised by how many people approached him after he made the announcement at the Game Awards to say, thank you for making this game. I've also lost a parent or lost somebody, and I'm really eager to have this experience and play it and have that communal, like, you know, mourning together over in the celebration of the people that they love. And, you know, I thought that was a really special moment. And I told him, I go, you do realize it's like wildly ambitious and maybe you overshot it a little bit that you started your own game studio to do this. And he was like, well, you know, how else was I going to do it? And I was like, touche.
Mad respect for that. I get it.
Yeah.
Very much it. I'm also very much a like Thanos, fine, I'll do it myself kind of person. So I respect him so much for that. And I'm very excited to play the final game when it comes out next month.
So to kind of wrap up this interview, because I know we don't have an infinite amount of time.
Boo.
I know. Just stop time, everybody. Here at GDC, have you heard any conversations that are exciting you about where the game development community is going? A piece of tech, a talk, a strategy, anything that you're like, that is some cool shit, and I'm excited to see where that goes.
So I actually attended a really excellent talk yesterday in the Narrative Summit by Jacqueline Seto and Crystal Rose Hazelton of... they're on the Apex Legends teams. Crystal Rose actually was just laid off. So if anyone needs a fucking amazing writer, Crystal Rose is on the market.
Sorry,
I will
Crystal.
I'll give you her Twitter and you can put it in the thing. But they did a talk about writing the characters in Apex Legends, and they talked about it was writing for representation when you don't have it. So it's like, as a writer, when you look like this and you're maybe writing, you have all these diverse characters you want to create, how can you get the right people in the room, consult the right people, like do it the right thoughtful way to have these characters that are authentic to specific cultures, authentic to specific ways of life. And they broke it down into like explicit and implicit representation, where explicit is their I don't want to say marginalization, that's such an awful way to put it, but like their qualities, like what they are, whether they're, you know, LGBTQ or they're, you know, from a specific racial background, explicit, that's part of their story. So there's
how they identify themselves.
Yeah. So it's explicit, which is part of their story. And then there's also implicit, which is, let's say you have a trans character, but being trans is not part of their journey in that story, but it's just, it's their identity, and their identity is part of them, but it is not affecting their story, and how you kind of can do both, who you can talk to do both, when to pick which one to do, and like where it's appropriate, where you need more work, where you have to go the extra mile with consulting, how you can consult other developers on your team that aren't writers to like look at this stuff for you. And it was so fascinating, and the talk was so good.
It feels like a super important conversation.
I obviously have a vested interest in that conversation, but it was just so wonderful, and they delivered it so beautifully, and it was like it's to see it all laid out and broken down like that. I was talking to some people after, and it's like, we think about this shit all the time, but we've never actually like seen it just laid out and been like, huh, okay, this is what we can do. So like, I think the subtitle of the talk was like writing what you know and what you don't. And like, we like to think as writers that we can write anything, which whatever, but there's, you know, there are certain life experiences I've never had that I can't really write about with confidence. I've never been, I mean, I've never been a dude, but I write a lot of dudes. That was a really bad example. Sorry, backing me up.
Well, I think there's an element of like, I don't want to use, maybe this term is the wrong thing to say, but like fake it till you make it. And there's been a lot of discourse in the narrative writing community to remind people like you don't have to have lived experience to write fictional characters.
No,
but game writing specifically and how players have agency and embody these characters in a very different way than literature does, for example, or screenwriting, requires a different touch and a different perspective because players are embodying these characters.
It's
and
different.
That's what I think is so interesting about hearing these conversations.
Yeah, so it was great. It's my favorite talk so far. You girls crushed it. So proud of you.
Aw, congrats. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Alexa, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy week here at GDC.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm just going to drop this breadcrumb to keep us both accountable. She mentioned to me, everybody, the possibility of a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth spoiler cast.
I did, and I stand by it. I'm waiting for you to finish it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you to finish it.
It's part of my prerogative to finish. Brittany is like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? I go, I'm not done yet because I was playing Rise of the Ronin, and I have Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, my God.
Which, by the way, our Rise of the Ronin special episode is in the feed now. If you guys missed it, check it out. Brittany and I give our deep dive thoughts into the new game from Team Ninja. But I want to finish it, and I want to have you back because I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.
Oh, my God. So Brittany and I were texting. She finished it first, and I was texting her throughout my time. And, like, I should just read. We should just read off the text messages that I was sending her, like, in the time. But in the spoiler cast.
Yes, because no spoilers here.
No spoilers. I'm not even going to say whether or not I liked it. I need to talk about it.
You to come talk about it with us. Yeah, we're going to make it happen, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'll have more thoughts from GDC, including additional hands-on information from the Nintendo Partner Preview I was at, the ID at Xbox Preview I was at, and other things that I saw and played here at GDC next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that, and enjoy your weekend.
Bye.